Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast, a podcast about expanding your creative capacity. Each week, we interview inspiring creatives to help you grow your freelance career. All right, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Mejia Madriz, and I'm a part of the Artist Marketing and Partnerships team here at Closer and Closer. I've got two very talented artists here with me today, the first of which is Dave Arcade.
Hello, everybody. I'm Dave Arcade, and I am an artist on the Closer and Closer roster. But enough about me, because it is seriously my pleasure to introduce today's guest. His pieces have been part of several group exhibitions and one solo show. His work as an illustrator has led him to collaborate with different advertising and entertainment clients from all over the globe. However, let me sum this up more accurately. He's my favorite illustrator. In fact, he's the best illustrator in the world and possibly of the past decade. I believe that. From Mexico City, the one and only Raul Oria.
Welcome, Raul.
Welcome, welcome. I'm very happy to be here, and I feel so honored about the Dave's words. I feel so glad. Thank you so much, man. And of very course. Happy to be here. Very, very happy to talk a little bit about my work and the illustration world.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you here. You know, you're definitely somebody that we've wanted to have on the show for a while, so we're excited to dive right in and learn more about you and your work. So just to do that right now, I'll dive into the first question. For those listeners that maybe aren't familiar with your work and have never seen it, how would you describe it to them?
Nice to meet you. I am Raul Urias. This is like a school. Yeah. I have 31 years old. I am from Mexico. Was the most big state in Mexico is Chihuahua. Mm-hmm. And basically, I am an illustrator. I am a visual artist. I am at some point I've been like a comic artist. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I am very deep into the art world.
You've done it all.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense that you come from the from doing comics, because the form of your characters is always super accurate. In fact, like your early work, you used to like render and shade everything, right?
Yes. When I started drawing like when I was 15, like every mm-hmm. of us, I think so. My dream was to be like a comic artist for Marvel. Mm. And I do a lot of study, shadow, anatomy, composition, and color, and narrative. So, yes, I was studying that for many, many years. And after that, I started doing illustration. That's why it's like a strange mix in art world, comic, design. Yeah,
it's funny when artists talk about their own work, because we say things like, you know, we're like, oh, it's just kind of like this. And like, if I describe my work, it's like, oh, it's like cartoons and some jokes, you know, whereas like somebody who's a fan would probably slap my face and be like, dude, it's more than that. And I feel the same way about your work, just because it means a lot to me. Something specific, just so people can kind of understand your work if they haven't seen it. I'm sure they'll go to your Instagram after this. In your work, you represent Mexico and its people so well. I would even say there's like this reverence, like paying homage to your heritage. I think it's inspired one of the most beautiful artistic styles I've ever seen personally. Can you talk about this for a second? Like, how did you first come to start involving like literally the world around you in your work? And what do you hope people will see in your work?
Okay, very nice question. Like an illustrator, for example, when you are in the comic world, you only represent the history, the narrative of the script from mm-hmm. another people.
Right.
So for me, it's super nice. You need to have very tough skills to do that. But I feel empty with this. So that's why I start making my own illustration with my own voice. And yeah. What I like is, like the comic, tell histories but with one image. That's why I feel so passionate about, if I am speaking about the Mexican folklore, I really deep into the details. I have a lot of references. I have a lot of, I read, I speak with people that are more into that subject sometimes. It's not only in the Mexican culture. I really like to do that in every work. If I work in for Disney, I bury into deep the characters to understand what happened. So what I want to the people see in my work is I really like the contemporary and the past. It's like a mix.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like I want to be like a Mexicans. We have other artists in the past, Diego Rivera, other muralist artists, Siqueiros. But I think that artists only can live in that context. For me, I am a new voice. You know,
yeah.
My new voice. I am not like the old people. I see other stuff. My reality is other. My context is other. So for me, it represents that. And the people feel inspired about what I see. And I don't know, if it's a cover for a medicine magazine, the people say, okay, I really like what I see, but I really want to know more because this illustration is the start, my interest into this. And that's my goal in every work. It's like a bit the door for the clients or the people see more stuff about what I am doing. That's my goal.
Yeah, that's, man, so many good things said there. I love that you're saying, like, whatever it is that you tackle or take on, you dive into the story or the brand or whatever it is, you treat it all the same and you take it all just as seriously no matter what. And I love that, and clients love that. Mm-hmm. And it comes through in your work. Like, I'm pretty sure you could, like, design the art on a toothpaste tube. And I'd be like, this toothpaste probably like saves people's lives. Like, this is this amazing toothpaste. And I love that. But you also said something really cool, that you're a new voice. And man, like, that is, if every young artist could like realize that they are a new voice and feel it the way that you do, the way that you're saying it, they'd be unstoppable. So if you're listening and you are a new artist, take that to heart. You're a new voice. That's so cool. And then a follow-up question really quick. You mentioned Diego Rivera, and I'm glad that you did. My wife, she likes your work more than mine. She came into my office a few weeks ago and she's like, she was looking at artists on the roster and she's like, have you seen this guy's work? I was like, yeah, of course I have. I love this dude's work. And she's like, he is so good. And she never says that with that same tone in her voice about my work, which I was fine with, but it was just funny. And anyway, so she knew you were coming on the podcast and she's like, is he influenced by Diego Rivera? I was like, I don't know. And she like pulled up his work, because I haven't looked at it in a long time. And she's like, it kind of put your work next to his, and the colors and the content isn't the same, but the story kind of matches up. So that's cool that you said you were influenced by him. That's true, right? I'm not just assuming that.
Yes. I feel so inspired. I don't say that only by Diego Rivera, or it's not my most bigger influence, but I think that era from Diego Rivera, other Mexican muralism. if you live in Mexico, you can feel that colors in the streets, the people, in the food. So for me, it's like a mix of a lot of things. These artists, my context, what I read, other artists from the Art Deco, from Vienna. So it's like a huge mix. But it's true, the Diego Rivera murals have this kind of composition that I really like. The most important element in the center, it's like a dualism, and it's like a perfect composition, reflection. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't see the work from Diego for many years, and when I see a mural, it's like a, okay, I feel we are very connected, but I don't know why. It's something inconscious.
Yeah, no, it's cool. In America, we can't seem to get to our roots. We don't even know what they are, which is. You know, like I was thinking about what it is that I do and thinking about this interview with you. And I was like, okay, if I was to do what Raul does, like how would I do that in my setting? And mm-hmm. I looked outside. Mm-hmm. I live in the suburbs and there's like a BMX bike on the ground and all the trees were planted 5 years ago. And all the houses look the same. And I'm like, there's just nothing like inspiring in my immediate context. So I think that's cool that you're like, yeah, like the colors and the food, just the environment, like it's part of your culture and it's always there. And you can't, if you took it away from the culture, it wouldn't be the same. But anyway, I'm talking too much because I'm, I love this stuff.
I want to say something. For example, where I am from, I'm from Chihuahua. And here, I moved to Mexico City at the 22 years old, so 9 years ago. When I moved to Mexico City, I didn't know anything about Mexico because the North is so American. We are like a copy from Texas or El Paso, so many, many ways. And when I moved to Mexico City, I start reading about my culture. I see the sculptures from the Aztecs. So it's not always in front of your eyes. It's sometimes you need to move a little bit to understand. And when I'm back right now to my hometown, I see this place like, holy shit, this is beautiful. Yeah. The skies, these colors, it's always, my skies is always red and blue. If I see my illustrations, it's always the same colors. It's like a cold and hot colors, and all makes sense. But I didn't see when I was young. I only started watching these details when I go back a lot of times.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It is something that like whatever influences you. Well, that's the thing. Like, influence is strange because you keep gathering influence as you get older. And the older I get, the more I'm drawn to, strangely, like old European architecture. And I'm trying to figure out how to work it into the stuff that I do. But a couple of years ago, I would spend like literally almost all night just going through all these images of, I guess it would be like Victorian era architecture. And like, I don't know where that came from. Like, I like heavy metal. I don't know why the hell I'm looking at this stuff. But, you know, it just, you never know like what's going to hit you. And like you said about like Aztec ruins, like, you know, one day you're just looking at it and you see something you've never seen before. You were talking about influences. Listen, in full disclosure, everybody, we just took a little break. Okay. And Raul and I were talking about, a book. Did you say the book is called Steal Like an Artist?
It's a book. It's a very small book. They talk about the creative process, and these artists have like 10 rules, and one of them is if you find one artist that you really like it, you're gonna don't stop in that. Feel more deep, be more deep in that. For example, if you like Van Gogh or Dalí or some Goya, other painters, you need to find what artists inspire these artists. So you're gonna do like a 3 or 5 generations of artists, and you're gonna see like okay, all start in the Greek sculptor, and then one guy see this and they stole that, and it's super interesting for me. That's what I do. I never feel inspired by people that are like me, because they are living my context. So I feel very inspired to the old people, and because they are masters and they are like people that have 50-60 years working on illustration or on painting, and I feel more comfortable to be inspired by them. And it's super interesting.
No, it is. What you're talking about is this idea that I've loved for a long time. You're talking about don't paint like Van Gogh. Like, find out who influenced him, and then find out who influenced that person. I remember I was reading an article like when I was really young, like a teenager, and it was on Led Zeppelin, and they were talking about how people would come up to them in the 70s and the early days. And they were like, yeah, you know, like me and my friends started a band and we sound just like you guys. and they were like, no, listen, we're interpreting Robert Johnson. We're interpreting Muddy Waters. And, you know, these old blues artists, which makes a ton of sense, because you can build off of that. If you have this recording, this old recording of one dude on his guitar, an acoustic guitar, you can hear, not that, you know, that's not masterful in and of itself, but you can hear like, okay, well, what if that's an electric guitar? And what if it's louder? And what if it's faster? And you can build off of it. But yeah, like for example, if I tried to build off your work, you've already kind of mastered something based on, like you said, the past, right? You're building off it. You're making it your own. And I think that's so important to learn. Like you nailed it. Like, you can't be influenced by somebody who just started making art 5 years ago. It doesn't work. Then you're just copying at that point, right?
Yeah. And you can respect them. Yes. I respect you. I respect all of the roost. But I think when you combine two different things that don't have sense, for example, I really like the Aztec culture, of my heritage. But I really love the ukiyo-e, good prints from Japan.
Yeah.
But I really like, too, the Goya engravings. So for me, what is the magic is what happened if we mix the three things, and the plus is that I am doing, because my hand or my vision is different from the other people. So it's like if you cook the recipe of the other people, it's gonna be wrong, or it's gonna feel empty. That's right. Why when we listen some band, like okay, this sounds like Pink Floyd, but yep, with this new stuff. When this big starts born from in art or in music, you understand that that happened because they connect things that the other people don't know. They don't know where it comes from. And for me, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. That's great stuff, man. It's like the real mechanics and the nitty gritty of like how good art is made. Andrea. We are being rude and just leaving you at this. It's seriously, like two guys, no, like looking at old swords and just be like,
you're so fine. I keep getting muted somehow. Sorry about that. But I was actually going to say, this is so interesting to me because it's something that Drew and I have been talking about a lot recently, is that innovation can only come once you have like a wide breadth of knowledge and you know all of these different things. Like I'm, for anybody who doesn't know, I'm 22 years old, so I'm super new in my career. This is my first job out of college. And something that we talk about a lot is it's hard to innovate and to create something new when you don't have that experience and you don't have all that knowledge. So that's why I think what Raul is saying is super interesting, is because it's the same for art. Like, yeah, you can have this one artist that you feel super drawn to and that you're really inspired by. But then, you know, the deeper you go into their influences and you find all these different influences that created that piece that you're really passionate about, you just gain so much more, a wider breadth of knowledge that you would have never had you just stuck with, you know, that initial artist and you're like, I want to be just like them. It's so much more valuable to gather all that knowledge. So then you are able to innovate on top of it all. Whereas like, if you just have that one inspiration and you're like, okay, well, I'm just going to make it better, or I'm just going to do it like this, it's not as impactful because you can't innovate the same way that somebody that has all that knowledge can.
Yeah. And it will leave you feeling empty, which Raul mentioned earlier. Like you can have 80, 100,000 followers because you are copying a style that's very popular, but I guarantee you that artist is empty.
Yeah. Or for me, this one point that the young people forget is this is not a cover that you're gonna do in 5 years. It's not a, the goal is not have, is not be working for the big brands, or is not working or not be the most famous. For me, the goal is be working from this like an illustrator for my whole life. And that's the complex. You need to be super passionate about this, because this is a very tough career. It's a very solitary right, Dave?
Oh my gosh, it's the worst in some.
You need to be, it's not about the passion, it's sometimes not about the skills, it's more from vocation, that you're gonna do this for so long. So yeah, I think right now illustration, lettering, animation, all these new arts covers have a boom in the world. And like in the 10 years ago, the people want to be a DJ. Right now, they want to be an illustrator. And it's cool for me. Like, okay, we have a lot of people. But the trick is like, right now you can be an illustrator with a super simple style. I know people that in 3 months they copy or they study one way to do the stuff. And they're going to have the work for big clients, but they don't have the roots and the base to comprehend or to understand what they're doing or why they are doing they are doing.
It's totally true. It's like when the client work is over, when you have some time, when you want to be fulfilled as an artist. Well, when we want to be fulfilled as an artist, we create a personal piece, right? We finish it and we feel great and we're like, cool. And we grow and we're able to express ourselves and somehow that it's cathartic and it just brings happiness, right? But if you don't know your roots, if you don't have a foundation, where do you build? Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, like I'm not trying to hate on people who have like more followers. Like I'm not doing that. I'm saying I don't want to pity them either, but there is something kind of sad about like, going forward with the style because you have, technical skills, but, you kind of left the most important thing at the train station, which is like your soul.
Yeah. For me, is that the people have fear, the young people have fear to be themselves, to be originals, because they want to have the new approbation of the followers, of the people, of the clients, or they think that, okay, if I'm working for, I don't know, for Spotify, this is a verification that I am a good artist. Or right. No, the truth is that I was starting working for Nike 9 years ago, and I didn't know anything about illustration. I was like only making drawings, and I didn't know what I'm doing. And with the past of the years, I feel passionate about educate myself in my professional career. Like I read, I study, not only like the comic world. It's more like right now Andrew Loomis. I don't know if you know.
No.
Andrew Loomis was like in the 50s, in the past decade, he was like the boss of illustration. They have so many books, and this is like a step by step how to be an illustrator.
Yep, I'm looking at it right now. I totally
It's super simple, but it's super important. And when the people came to me, okay, Raul, I want to be an illustrator. I want to be like me. No, you don't need to be like me. We don't need two Rauls. We need people with his own voice. And if maybe you like my work, but you're going to feel inspired by the people that I feel inspired. So,
yeah. You got to start with the basics.
Yes.
Every time I don't start with the basics, with anything, and that can be even like a new illustration where I'm trying new things and I'm trying to skip steps, I end up wasting time because again, I don't have like, seems to be a theme with what we're talking about here. I don't have that foundation. I have to go back and kind of do studies. And that's why we do studies, right? So we can like nail it in the final piece, which I didn't understand for a long time. And that's another tip for you youngins. If you're making something and you don't know how to draw something, don't try and draw it for the first time in the final piece. Do studies.
Yeah, I think I am a little bit poetic. I romanticize, is the word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Romanticize the mistakes. I really love being wrong.
Oh, interesting.
Because when you're wrong, you grow up. You discover other visions of... If sometimes the people... I don't know, maybe some people have super skills and the first time they make the final piece. Mm-hmm. But they really like to be uncomfortable with me. Like I do something and sometimes I think, oh no, this was too easy. It's wrong. Let's do again. But let's change a little bit the formal. I have a teacher in my high school that always says, what happened if? What happened if you feel inspired by this? What happened if you don't use line? What happened if you do this? So he have like a very like a rule for life, and I really like that.
Yeah, it sounds like this teacher was kind of talking about this philosophy of curiosity and staying open to possibilities as you're illustrating.
And the fun fact, he is not an illustrator. He is a math teacher. So he was a person.
It's like the last person you would expect to suggest to be curious about things, because math is like, you know, math is truth. Like there's only one answer to, you know, the problems. I suck at math, so I could be wrong about that. I'm drawing Michael Jordan for a client. And if you're listening and you're getting into illustration, I know that sounds amazing. It's not, it's for a buddy who just opened a baseball card shop.
Okay.
It's not like Nike hit me up or Michael Jordan himself. I was on the phone with Michael Jordan yesterday. No. I'm having this problem because he's such a hero of mine that I don't, and I'm trying to do him in kind of a cartoony style, that I don't want to screw it up So it's kind of interesting that you said like that you love making these mistakes because you grow from them. And that looseness, well, I started to feel that last night. Like I drew a proportion incorrectly. And I was like, wait a minute, that's what I'm looking for. Like I made his torso too long. And I was like, that's been like, I've been trying to solve this problem for like 2 hours. And there it is. Like I only found it because I made a mistake.
Yeah, I think when you are working, some days you're working like, okay, this is my sketch, this is my final piece, and all is okay. But sometimes when you are open to the exploration of new ways to do the, I don't know, the sketching phase, I really like to this sensation of you are discovering something new. And you know, like, okay, I don't know what is this, but this is good.
Yeah.
It's like musician where they are these rushes of inspiration. And that happened, but in our case, it's happened working. It's not like a thinking or something. It's like you need to see what you're doing for understand.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Man, I really like getting this, these little insights and perspectives from you. There's a lot of things that you're saying that I would not have expected, but they make a ton of sense. Especially, I love that, I'm not influenced by anyone who's alive.
Yeah, this is a very strange rule, but
no, it's cool. I get it.
For example, I really love James Jin's work.
Oh my gosh. One of the best artists, right?
He's the king.
Yep.
He is the, I see his work, I feel angry.
Oh. That's how I feel when I look at your work. Now, I'm glad that you have a reference. I'm so glad,
man. Oh yeah, I feel angry. I am all day. So when I see his work, I feel anything like okay, I never can be like this guy,
right?
But I am sure that James have the same feeling with other people. So yeah. For me, it's not only because the old people is they have the I know the, they are masters. For me, it's like I don't see the other illustrators like a competition. I only see myself like a project.
Yeah.
My style is the project. My new project is the focus. It's because a lot of new artists or young people is always like, oh, Michael have the new gig for the brand. Oh, you know? And
yep.
For me, like, okay, this energy, you can focus on you. And what you're doing, if you are thinking what the other people are doing, it's not smart for me.
No, yeah, it's not. It's totally true. You have to. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. You have to be challenging yourself, and you have to do things that are up to your standards, and. That's how good work gets done. Especially as freelancers, we're alone. We don't have anyone else to tell us that it's good or bad. And so we have to keep this barometer that tells us like what you're doing right now sucks or it's awesome. But it has to meet a standard. Sorry, Andre.
Yeah. No, nothing. I just wanted to chime in. I'm reading this book right now called Start With Why by Simon Sinek. And it talks a lot about this idea of you have to start with your why, and that always has to be present in the work that you're doing. And the only way that you're going to attract the right, you know, clients, customers, whatever it is that you do, but the only way that you're going to attract the right people to your product or your art is by having that why be the center of like what you're putting out into the world. So like, if you start with your what, you're like, oh yeah, I create art. I'm pretty good at it. Like, you know, I'm better than this guy or this guy. No, people aren't going to be loyal to you and they aren't going to want to work with you because that's not why people do things. People do things because they see what you believe in and what you're inspired by and why you do the things that you do. And they relate to it and they agree with it and they decide, you know, that's what I want and that's what I believe in too. And then that's why they become, you know, your client or your customer. And it's really interesting because I think it ties back to what Raul was saying, where like you can't just be comparing yourself to the next person. And like there's always going to be somebody who's, you know, better illustrator, or like better drawer, or better at working with clients. But at the end of the day, if you're clear on your why and you're clear on why you're creating the work that you're doing, then the right clients and the right people are going to come.
Yeah, that's a really good insight. It reminds me of There Will Be Blood. I don't know if either of you two have seen that movie.
No.
Oh, it's so good. Daniel Day-Lewis is like best performance, and he plays like a, I don't know how you describe him. Like, he's kind of sociopathic. He's an oil man. And so he goes and he finds oil wherever it's at. And he just is only interested in that. And after all of like these complicated relationships throughout the film, he gets to this point where he's talking to somebody and he says, there's a competition in me. Yeah. And you're like, that's it. That's your problem. And he ends up alone. He pushes everybody away. So yeah, that's not scientifically tying them together, but mm-hmm. it's true. Like if you're only competitive, if you only want to kick other people's asses, that's not a noble or sustainable approach.
Yeah, and I think it's not a rule because
yeah,
for example, what I think is good to me, maybe to you, Dave or Andrea, is not so good. So it depends. And only to, when I was young, I was in a conference from another illustrator. I was 21. I am young and with a lot of dreams. And I was working in some company taking photos and be unhappy. But I was already, I make my own work, but I didn't be working in the industry yet. Mm-hmm. And this guy says a lot of the career and the, rules of his work. And the final he says, the only thing that you need to do is do the work that you want to see.
Oh yeah,
they were. It, for me, was super clear. And the next day, I don't know, quick for my work, and I start making that. He says, if you don't like what the designs of the skateboards that you see in the store, okay, that's an opportunity, because if you have other vision, other people's gonna like that vision. So go for that. And don't wait till the people come from you like, oh, Raul, I think that you don't like the skateboard now. That's gonna happen. That's not the real world. So I start in illustration very strange because I do in school a project for Converse. It was like a fun fiction project, and I put in my Behance. This was 10 years ago. But in my Behance, I never put that this was a school work. Mm-hmm. And someday, a friend of mine said, okay, man, see this. He was in Abducido or some blog design for that years. And this is the new campaign from Converse for Raul Urias. What? No, this is cool. And I realized, like, okay, this is how works the internet.
Yeah.
You do nice things. If you do good work, the people, sometimes when we are young, we think, okay, no, I am Mexican. I don't speak English. I don't have contacts. The people don't gonna trust in me. And no, this is only in your mind. Doesn't matter if you are poor, if you are rich, if you're white, if you're black, doesn't matter. It's only what you can do, and if the people likes your work.
Yep.
So this is advice for the new artists, do what you want to see outside. You only need your computer. You only need take a photo or something and put on the internet, and the world is going to do the next.
Yep.
Yeah. They'll take it from there. The work.
Yeah. And with that Converse project, I do like an exercise, and the next month I do one illustration for Coca-Cola, for Nike.
Nice.
I put in my Behance. This is a school project, but I really like to work with these brands in the future. And the next month, Nike comes with me and he says, let's work together. So for me, I feel like these small guys that are playing football in the hometown, and a guy says, okay, yeah, you go to the Manchester United.
Come to the big leagues.
Yeah, for me it was the same. Like, okay, this happened. I am in Chihuahua. Here, I don't know anybody that worked for Nike, like in Australia.
Yeah.
I am 22 years old, and this is happening. Let's do that.
Yeah.
That's huge.
This segues really well into actually a question that I wanted to ask you, Raul. You create some really, really amazing personal projects. And like, especially in the last few years, you created a book of your illustrations, two different clothing lines. And I just kind of wanted to ask, like, what is the value that you see in taking on these mammoth personal projects? Because I know a lot of other illustrators, you know, their personal work will be like a one-off illustration that they do every day, which is awesome. It's great to flex that muscle. But why do you decide to take on these huge personal projects that you create?
Because I want to conquer the world.
Nice.
No, my problem is that if I only do commercial projects, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I am super passionate. I really, trust me, 7 o'clock in the morning, I feel excited to start working and it's a new day. So for me, I can do a lot of personal illustrations. For what I learned in the last years is it's better to you have your own personal projects deal like big projects.
Yeah.
For example, you can do, if I always do one illustration per week, for me, it's better do that with a propose. And this was the book, the clothing brand, or I have my paintings, or I do seal screens for my clients.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like I focus this on projects that, and I pay for the photography, I pay for videos. And for me, I have my inquiries with something in art direction and other stuff that not only illustrate. So it's keep me alive and creatively open, because I know other people. And the good point is, at the final, the clients see this work and they don't ask like, oh, this is only for Raul by Raul. They all, doesn't matter. It's like, okay, I am Prada. I am Prada, and I see your pattern and your shirt that you make. I want that. And for me, it's like, okay, if I'm going to do these deals with brands, I'm going to do by my rules. With the stuff that I like to see outside. And that's sometimes that only live can live in your personal projects. Because sometimes if you explain to a brand like, I want to do this and this, and the brand say, no, thank you. I want to do this that I see in your portfolio with the same colors. It's only change the girl for the shoe. Okay, I do that.
Yeah.
With the personal projects, I explore other stuff that for me was complex to explain to a client. So,
it's I hope other illustrators won't take this the wrong way, because it's not the best analogy, but it's kind of the difference. Like commercial illustration versus personal work is sort of like a jingle for a brand versus like writing your own music. Like it's jingle's a terrible comparison. And we have way more fun than that. And I actually, you know, I've had projects where clients are like, do whatever you want, you know, like murals and stuff. They want art, but it's true. If you don't, if you're not doing your own personal projects, I don't know, like you'll suffer. We've kept you for so long. And this has been wonderful. I just had to ask about your color palettes. Where do they come from? If you break down some of the colors, like if you isolate some of them, you're like, why did he use this color? And then you put it with the other colors and it's brilliant. Did you learn color theory in school? Are you just self-taught? Like, where did these colors come from, man? They're amazing.
When I was young, when I started painting, I paint for myself in acrylics and digital. I do like this. I don't know if you know this magic card game. I paint like this kind of mythologic artwork in the past.
Did you say Magic the Gathering?
Yeah, Magic the Gathering.
I have some.
And when I was young, I feel super inspired in that kind of art.
Yeah.
I have my account, DeviantArt. And when you see this kind of illustration, you need to know about temperatures, contrast, balance in color. It's not one thing is balance in your illustration, in the elements, another the weight of the color. So I started learning, it's a book called Light and Color by James Gurney. James Gurney is a painter that from the life, he had their own sketchbook and put the canvas in the sea, and he painted that. And there you can learn about, so for example, if you see a red and next you see a yellow, your logic is these two colors are different. But if you put these two colors into the black grayscale, you're going to see that the white, the yellow, is more gray than red. So what I say is I start learning about this, and I feel super inspired in the old vintage advertising. Yeah. And what I do is I stole these color palettes, but I have my rule. I always do use 8 colors, and I use a hot and cold colors. So it's always the same recipe, but the mood is different. So I can take a picture from the sky. I can see a furniture, take a picture. And I always start with the same logic, but I'm going to change this in the way that I'm working the illustration, but with all technical base about the color theory. I am super careful with this part.
Yeah. No, that's I'm a little intimidated to hear that you have a complete philosophy behind your colors, but I'm also, after talking to you for an hour, not surprised at all. That's really cool that you broke that down for us. That you always it's always 8 colors. You use hot and cold. See, I stay in one temperature, but you're saying you don't have to.
Yes, no. It's like a dance for me. For me, it's like if you put an Iron Maiden song, and another one is Eric Clapton. So for me, is I have the illustration is the platform. But what I want to say with this, I want to put uncomfortable to my people that see my work, or I can make the most candy song, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's logic. It's logic with study. When you study, it's like you have your for me, I say I have my Pokemons. I have my and you decide when use the correct one in the correct situation. But for that you need to understand. And other other times it's more feeling. That happened too. It's feeling like, okay, it's logic, it's red with mm-hmm. green, with this brown, and with a hot spot, with a cold spot in blue. And I don't know, it's a Mexican thing sometimes, because we are super comfortable with the use of color. If you go to Germany, I'm for sure that they're more like a gray, or other, or India is it's more cold, more hot hot colors. And Mexico is like a dance. You can go to the streets and you see green, yellow, magenta, pink. And for us, it's a culture thing.
Yeah.
So he's basically telling you can't do it, Dave.
I know.
Sorry.
No, but remember, I grew up in New Mexico. Like, well, we moved there when I was 14. And one of the crazy things that I noticed, because, you know, like it's not Mexico. I know it's called mm-hmm. New Mexico. It's not, but you know, there's some crossover there for sure. And like you're in the middle of the desert, you're sitting there driving down, you know, like a highway, and you'll see this big turquoise, like jagged structure. Mm-hmm. And it's just this blast of color in the midst of the desert. Lots of pink, lots of blue, lots of yellow. Like, honestly, I think the reason why I use some of the colors that I do is because of when we moved there. At first, I was like, what? Like, that is the craziest thing to put. Like, why would you? Because I'm expecting to see something that matches the landscape. But that's exactly why, like, the sculptures in that town and, like, the banners that they put up and the murals, like, it's any chance to use color. It's an opportunity. So anyway, enough about my stupid upbringing.
No, it's interesting, man. I really like to know how the stuff coming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've made it like an hour now. So to wrap things up, Raul, first of all, thank you so much for being here. It was so wonderful. I know you guys were joking about leaving me out of the conversation, but it really is so wonderful to just watch you guys like go deep on this stuff and nerd out, because, you know, there's some valuable stuff in there. But my last question for you, Raul.
Yeah.
To end it all off, where can people find you? Where can they see more of your work?
I am like a Raul Urias in all media. I don't use Facebook. I only use Instagram. And right now I need to put my portfolio fresh again, because this is getting old from 2-3 years ago. And of course, in the Closer and Closer page.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Raul. We loved having you today.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Dave. I feel very comfortable for me. This is my first podcast, I think so, in English, because I'm super bad in English. But no, man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you, the people have listened to this. Hello from Mexico, and enjoy what you do. Be passionate.
Be passionate. That is a good message. Yeah. Thanks, Raul. You're the best, man.
I'll be happy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to the Closer and Closer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to receive the latest episodes. You don't want to miss some of the incredible conversations that we have coming up. They'll be full of powerful insight to help you reach your full creative potential. To find out more about us, visit www.closerandcloser.co.